Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Jeffrey Epstein, fan of Whitney Cummings. That's a nice thing. So much of what is being talked about right now is negative. But Jeffrey Epstein, fan of Whitney Cummings, friend of the show, and liked her squirting routine and would see it in West Palm Beach. After raping and torturing the children, he would, after a rape and a torture of the children. Can you imagine being raped and tortured and then hearing the person who did it go, now I'm going to go to a comedy show? That's another level of sociopath. You have to respect that level of sociopath. You're raping and torturing children, killing them maybe. And then you go, all right, let's take a break from this. I'm going to the improv. And then he would sit there and laugh at comedy. He would go to the West Palm Beach Improv after strangling a woman, probably underage, a girl, strangling her to death. Some women were saved by the fact that he had to go to the West Palm Beach Improv to see Whitney Cummings. Some people are alive today. Right as she was about to lose consciousness, he goes, fuck, I remember. I've got tickets to the late show at the West Palm Beach Improv. Go see Whitney Cummings. There are people who draw breath on this earth today. And that's something nice. Jeffrey Epstein files, of course, out. About 50% of the Epstein files are out. 50% are still behind lock and key. Files, very disturbing. We're going to go into it. It's fitting to remember this, though. Let's remember Kash Patel, who is the director of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and he is on it. If there's anybody who's on it, it's this guy. Let's remember, because everyone has been reading these files for the past, 3-4 days, everybody is sending each other emails. People are reading tweets of emails, threads of emails. You're on the subway. You lose service. Fuck. I wanted to see that email, that file. I'm in my car reading the files on the 405 in traffic. I'm reading files. I look across. Someone's on their phone. I don't know what they're doing. I bet it's reading the file. We're all reading the files every moment of every day. And the files suggest that all of the things that people feared, like there was a pedophile network amongst the elites that was used as leverage to blackmail people or to, at the very least, control them is all true. That's all true. It's all indisputably true. But what, but let's think about it. What were the takeaways? Because Kash Patel, of course, had this information before we did. It's worth revisiting Kash Patel's takeaway. What did he glean from all of these documents? And I'm sure he's got ones we haven't seen. Let's take a look. Now, everyone in the world now knows that there was 100% a human trafficking operation where Jeffrey Epstein was procuring girls for wealthy and powerful people. Everybody knows that. Friend of the show, Kash Patel, let's see what he got out of it.
Who, if anyone, did Epstein traffic these young women to besides himself?
Himself. There is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
So the answer is no one?
For the information that we have.
In the file.
In the case file.
You don't have to be the director of the FBI to see that this guy's trafficking women. He's trafficking underage women. You don't have to be the... So Kash Patel's a liar. He's a big, fat liar. He's a liar and he should resign and step down because he's lying. Why is he lying? Why would he tell such a fib? That is a lie. It is a lie, and he's bad at it. He's terrible at it. And we knew it was a lie when he said it. And now it's such a lie, it's actually funny. It's like a junkie who's like, no, man, I'm just tired. Like, we know you're on drugs. He's lying, and he knows he's lying, and he does that thing when you're a liar. You're like, you kind of have an out-of-body experience where you go, is this working? You can see. There's a moment. Play it again. Play it again, and I'll show you exactly where the moment is where he's curious if it's working. Kash Patel.
One, did Epstein traffic these young women too, besides himself?
Himself. There is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday.
Now watch closely. Watch closely here.
Trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
So the answer is no one?
For the information that we have.
In the files?
In the case file.
Okay. Now, President Trump.
The information that we have. So he knows he's lying. When he says that, he goes, the information that we have. He knows he's lying, and he's wondering, hey, is this working? Is this going well? Am I lying effectively? Let me specify what I mean. The information that we have. Now, we know that he has all the information that we have and more. And much more. Now, it is obvious to anyone that this guy was a human trafficker. He was trafficking women to this island. And now it gets dark because they're talking, these files talk about torture. They talk about, you know, they say disgusting, heinous things. The littlest one, the littlest girl was really naughty. Then they're talking about torture. They're talking about pizza. Remember Pizzagate that was all fake? Everybody's going to they're all talking about pizza. It's weird. It is odd. It is strange. And these are code words. We know that. They're actually code words for pedophilia. So it's like, I've gotten calls from people going, wait a minute. Am I crazy or am I now in QAnon? Now, maybe you're not in the far reaches of QAnon, which is like Biden died and was replaced by a clone, or you know what I mean? That's hardcore QAnon. But I think we're all QAnon light. We are all QAnon light right now. Thank you for a fun night. Your littlest girl was a little naughty. That's to Jeffrey Epstein from a redacted name. These redacted names are the pedophiles that the United States government is protecting. These redacted names are the pedophiles that the U.S. government is protecting. Who are these people? Who are these people? Get up the torture one. There's the email about torture. Go look through these. They're all incredibly creepy. And the redactions in the files are to protect the names of the pedophile. Remember the lying? They go, well, the victims. We want the victims to be protected. And we don't want the victim. We don't want to show you kiddie porn with the victims. They don't want to. We don't want to put the victims' pussies out there. This is the pedophiles are protecting. They're protecting the victims. They have emails. Yeah, how about this? Where are you? Are you okay? I loved the torture video. That's from Jeffrey Epstein to redacted. So Jeffrey Epstein received a torture video from someone and he responded, hey, where are you? Are you okay? I love the torture video. Now, let's break that down. Let's just break it down. Let's give everyone the benefit of all of the doubts. Where are you? We don't know where someone is. By the way, I don't think I've ever, like, that's odd to email. Like, where are you? Where are you? Are you okay? That might mean that someone's been up to something. They've been getting wild. Where are you? Are you okay? Is what you say after a wild night of boozing. You're wild. You had a wild night of boozing. Where are you? Are you okay? We saw you drunkenly stumbling to that car. Did you guys make it home? Now, this is followed up by five words that are pretty insane. I loved the torture video. Where are you? Are you okay? I loved the torture video. From Jeffrey Epstein to redacted. No evidence? Cash Patel? No evidence of any wrongdoing? To Jeffrey Epstein from redacted. I am in China. I will be in the U.S. second week of May. Sent by BlackBerry. This was the old days of the BlackBerrys. Many of you kids don't remember this. In the old days when you trafficked women and children and tortured and ate them, you had BlackBerries. You had BlackBerries. Remember that? Before the iPhones? Before the TikTok and the iPhones? You would eat somebody's intestines and then go on your BlackBerry. And this guy, so there's email after email like this. Email after email, creepier than the next. There's photos. This guy's got a trap door in his fucking house. Can you get up the trap door that leads right to the ocean? This guy was on an island. There's a lot of pedophiles on land. This guy went to an island because some things go to an island and don't come back, by the way. That's why you want an island. You want an island because some of what's coming to your island is not leaving your island. So this is the trapdoor, make that as big as you can, that leads right to the sea. So if you were a woman on the island and a billionaire had rough sex with you and killed you intentionally or unintentionally, would Jeffrey Epstein report it or would you go down the chute? No media is covering this. Shame on them, by the way. Shame on them. No media covers this. They're not covering this. They're covering like parts of it and they're dancing around everything. What is happening if you're on that island? Get up the email that to Ghislaine where he goes, I'm thankful I didn't kill anyone. Now that means that someone started acting up. I've read credible journalists that say, this doesn't say that there was a pedophile ring, and this doesn't say this is just rich people hanging out with other rich people and ignoring a guy who might be creepy because they wanted to be around a cool guy with an island. The excuses made here are unbelievable. And look at who's making them and remember who's making them, by the way. Look at who's making excuses here and remember who's making them. If you're a woman and you went to that island and you got killed, are they reporting it? Or are you going down the chute for do you become shark chum? I'm not trying to make light of it. I mean, listen, I'm being funny. I'm a comedian. It is what it is. But I'm telling you what's happening here, folks. Dear Ghislaine, many thanks again for your amazing hospitality. This is from Martin Nowick. So we know who this is. Isn't he a professor?
Yeah, mathematics professor.
Where is he teaching?
I think Austria.
Oh. Dear Ghislaine, many thanks again for your amazing hospitality. I am so very sorry I caused you so much worry and that I spoiled this day. I am so happy that I did not kill anybody. My perspective of life has changed somehow. Lots of love, Martin. What do you think he did? What do you think Martin did? I'm going to give you three options. Do you think Martin spilt a bottle of expensive wine? That's choice A. Let's read the email again together. Dear Ghislaine, many thanks for amazing hospitality. I am very sorry I caused you so much worry that I spoiled this day. I am so happy that I did not kill anybody. My perspective of life has changed somehow. Lots of love, Martin. What do we think Martin did if we had to take a guess? Option A, Martin spilled a very expensive bottle of wine all over the couch. Option B, Martin had a little too much to drink and went on a very uncomfortable tirade about the shifting demographics in Austria. Option C, Martin had rough sex with an underage girl and almost killed her to a point where that girl had to either be taken out and gotten medical attention, and he ended up spoiling the day. And by some sheer luck, that underage girl didn't die. My perspective of life has changed somehow. Lots of love, Martin. Which one do you think he did? Do you think it was the wine? You think it was an uncomfortable political tirade? Or do you think this guy almost killed someone that they set him up with? Do you think it was almost that person almost had to go down the chute for the sharks? That was that person was almost there? This is my guess. Do I know if that's true? I don't know, but these people are a problem.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a like a lovely Mediterranean holiday. Ooh. And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
What is the religious angle here? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. When you talk, when you listen to Jeffrey Epstein talk, he's talking about transhumanism. He wants to seed the world with his seed. He obviously doesn't believe in the concept of the soul. He doesn't believe in anything like that. He believes that you can sculpt humanity. There was a lot of transgender talk. And again, I've obviously no problem with legitimate trans people, of which there are not as many as you'd think if you went through a college campus, like actual trans people. But Jeffrey Epstein clearly liked the idea that gender is very malleable and that you could, and lots of things in life are malleable. And he wanted clearly to build another body, and he was obsessed with scientists, and he probably wanted to upload his consciousness, and he was a transhumanist. Not that different from things that, you know, Elon Musk and people like that have said. You know, it's humanity's destiny to merge with artificial intelligence, and we can engage in some type of eugenics. This was all Epstein stuff. He had all these creepy scientists that were at the island. They were doing all this fucked up shit, and he was also engaging in these conversations. So Jeffrey Epstein clearly believed that humanity was a scientific endeavor. And I want to bring up Luciferianism, please. Bring up Luciferianism. Bring up the definition of Luciferianism. Let's bring up Luciferianism. It is a philosophy or belief system that views Lucifer not as a devil, but as a symbol of enlightenment, independence, and pursuit of knowledge. Folks, we're getting somewhere. Folks, I think we're getting somewhere. It emphasizes individual responsibility, critical thinking, the balance of light and dark, often drawing from Gnosticism or occult traditions. Unlike Satanism, which may focus on indulgence or rebellion, Luciferianism focuses on self-deification. I am God. Wisdom and personal growth. Jeffrey Epstein and many in the ruling class are Luciferians. They believe, whether it's aesthetic or not, they believe all of these things to be true. They don't believe there's any moral code outside what they can get away with. They believe that they are deities and gods and that they should be able to upload their consciousness and potentially live forever, and that you are biological waste that they should be able to fuck and throw in an ocean for sharks. This is true. It's absolutely true. Now, they might not say it. They might not go, I'm a Luciferian. Now, some of them will. But they're obsessed with Moloch, who's a god of child sacrifice. They're obsessed with Baal and all these things. They're obsessed with demonology. They're obsessed with this idea of becoming their own god. They're obsessed with child sacrifice. They're obsessed with engineering humanity through things like eugenics. Hitler was an occultist. A lot of people around him were occultists. A lot of people in Los Angeles are occultists at much higher levels of the business, you know, that you hear about. You go back to the 60s, they made a lot of great music, whatever. But there was a fair amount of occultism then. More cults come out of, you know, Northern California. More retards come out of Southern California. I always mix that up. More cults come out of Northern California. A lot of those occultists were involved in the United States military. Michael Aquino. This is all very obvious. We were on this shit years ago on this show. It's all out in the open right now. So what is the hope here, folks? I'll tell you what it is. Bill and Hill, I did an episode years ago called Bill and Hill's Last Kill. And it was about how as you get older, you realize that life is finite. And that even though you would like to live forever and be a deity and whatever, that you're going to go into the dirt like everyone else. So I thought that the Clintons' final kill was a beautiful thing where they had one last security guard or someone they had to get. Forget who it was. Doesn't matter. The people come and go. So Bill and Hill did one last kill together. And it was one of my favorite episodes on the Patreon. And I talked about that. I talked about the sense, you know, it's the guy, he's coaching his last game. He's got his lady in the stands. Now, instead of that, of course, this guy's coaching his last game with his lady and there's, you know, whatever, ordering someone's death. Bill and Hill, you got to remember, Donald Trump fucked this bitch over in a big way. Hillary Clinton's wanted nothing in her life but to be the president of the United States. Life has had no meaning to her outside of that. None. None. What is life? To have a mildly, this kind of weird-looking daughter and this fucking guy who's cheating on you every other day? Stop. It's not what life is. Life for Hillary Clinton has been about the acquisition of power since she's a young girl. People mistake her. They're like, is she a lesbian? Is she a this? Is she a that? Hillary Clinton cares about only one thing, and it's the acquisition of power. And the deal was she was going to sit through Bill Clinton's escapades as long as they did not fuck her political career. She didn't care. She knew Bill was a scumbag when they met. She knew he chased pussy. She knew he was probably violent with some of the women. She knew where he was from. She knew he was a liar, a cheater, and a rapist. She knew it. But he was also one of the greatest politicians to have ever lived. And she knew that if she hitched her wheel and wagon to him and helped him greatly, they would attain levels of power. And they did. And, you know, these were the podunk governors of Arkansas. Sure. Sure, the intelligence community felt safe with them because they let a bunch of coke get flown into Mena, Arkansas, whatever. Sure, they were, you know, Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope. You know, Bill Clinton went to the Bohemian Grove. He was selected. Like, people knew who he was. They knew who he was. They felt comfortable with him. The ruling class felt comfortable with him. He was a guy you could control. He was chasing pussy, probably had a couple of out-of-wedlock kids. Who knows? But Billy Boy was a guy you could control. He likes puss. That's what he likes. So they controlled him that way. And of course, there were political battles and fights and impeachments and whatever. But Bill and Hill were a force to be reckoned with. They defined the 90s. Chubby Bill Clinton jogging around, talking to single mothers in a Wendy's parking lot, telling them he cared about them, their eyes welling up with tears. Bill Clinton is a political dynamo, okay? Not a good person. We covered that literally seconds ago. But politically, he's a genius. His wife is cold, but she's calculated. She keeps him on track. She makes deals. She manages the staff. She's an operator. She's a behind-the-scenes person. She's not a front-of-the-camera person, Barry Weiss. Pay attention to this. She's an operator. Hillary is good at operations. Now, you have Bill, who is the star. Hillary is the supporting act. Two terms. Incredibly popular. Hillary Clinton becomes a senator from New York. Obama takes it from her the first time. Young, black, charismatic. Comes in. People like it. They like this guy. He's cool. He's calm. He's collected. He's cerebral. He's everything everything George W. Bush wasn't. Obama becomes the symbol of the corporate neoliberal takeover. Everyone in the Washington power establishment, most of them, not everyone, but a lot of them, love Barack Obama, especially John Brennan, who's the head of the CIA, love Barack Obama. They feel comfortable with him, and perhaps they know things about him other people don't know, okay? He was probably like a cool, you know, dope-smoking, bisexual, whatever he was, okay? So he's being controlled to a degree. Everyone in that position's being controlled, by the way. So you have Barack Obama. He takes it from Hillary. After two terms of Obama, Hillary still has a shot. Now it is, the road is paved for her. Oh my God, here comes Donald Trump. The Clintons are big fans of his candidacy early on because they think he's going to be a goofball and a joke. They would love to run against Donald Trump, they said. We want to run against this undisciplined wacko. No one's going to get behind this guy. He'll either lose interest or he'll spiral. He'll get caught up in some messy scandal. Because again, they all know each other. They all know each other. But they have this weird mutually assured destruction because they both think they're going to win. They both need all these billionaires. So as much as he's teasing the Epstein stuff and she's teasing some of Trump's behavior, Hillary, and Trump shows up to the debate with the women that have accused, you know, after the grab him by the pussy, everybody thinks Trump's done. He shows up to the debate with these women that had all accused Bill Clinton, including Juanita Broderick, who accused him like credibly of rape. But this is all political theater because everybody knows there's something that no one can talk about. We can only tease. And that's the trap door. And who goes to the fish? Bring up the door. Now, who goes to the fish is what we can't talk about. I can say you're doing sexual assault. I can say you're a misogynist. But we can't talk about who goes to the fish. Okay? Now, Trump wants the Epstein files gone. Cash Patel wants them gone. His girlfriend, I don't forget her name. What's her name? Yentl? Anyway, she wants it gone. All of these people want it gone. Nobody wants these things out except a collection of podcasters, the American people, the victims, whatever. But all the billionaires, all the media, all the political people would rather them go away. Trump would rather these things go away. But Thomas Massey, Ro Khanna, other people, they're pushing it. Pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, pushing it. These things come out. The Republicans now go, we want Bill Clinton to testify because we want to play political points with this because the Republicans still think this is a political issue, bless their hearts. The Republicans still think that this is a political issue, and this is not a political issue. It's about who goes to the fish. Trump knows a couple of people went to the fish. Now, the Clintons know it, too. What people are hoping, now, I don't think this is going to happen exactly as people want it to happen, but here's what people are hoping. Bill and Hillary are old. They're skin suits. They've got nothing left. The adrenochrome's wearing off. They have nothing left, truly. He can't fuck anymore. He doesn't even want to live. She's not going to be president anymore. She don't want to live. There are two. My friend just saw her in Qatar. She looks terrible. Tucker just saw her, my friend. Like, I'm going to lie. Like, I have 10 friends in Qatar. But here's the point. They don't want to live anymore. His prize is fucking a white trash chick behind an Applebee's and he can't do and threatening her. He can't do that anymore. Her reason for existing is power politics that will end with her ascendancy to become the first woman president. She can't do that anymore. These are people with nothing to lose. They're dangerous. They're dangerous skin suits. They have nothing to lose until they die and go meet their true God. So what people are hoping, what people are praying and hoping for is that they do a, now they want to do, an open door session where they are filmed. People want it to be closed door. Let's stop the games. Hillary Clinton calls for testimony and Epstein probe to be public. Hillary can do one more thing on this earth and she knows it, and it's sink Trump. She can only do one more thing on this planet, and she knows it. And Bill can do something similar. The only thing Hillary Clinton has left to live for right now is to destroy Donald Trump. If Bill Clinton got up and was like, we raped all the babies. We ate the babies. We raped the babies. We ate the babies. We raped the babies. We ate the babies. We raped the babies. And you did it. Trump did it. We did it. You did it. We did it. You did it. We fed that woman to the shark. We fed that woman to the shark. And then Hillary goes, we fed her to the shark. We fed her to the shark. Remember, we fed her to the shark. And America is paralyzed by this. And the government might fall. I mean, there's going to be massive protests. There's going to be riots. Still see my show on Mother's Day in Long Island in May. Saturday, Sunday. It's a homecoming. Bring your mothers. Doesn't matter. He goes, listen, we all did bad things. We believe in Baphomet and Baal, and we believe in Moloch, and we sacrifice people, and we fed them to sharks.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
This is what people are saying. Let's stop the games. If you want this fight, Rep. James Comer, let's have it in public, Hillary Clinton stated. You love to talk about transparency. There's nothing more transparent than a public hearing. Cameras on. We will be there. Bill and Hill, this is their one last kill shot. They have to take Trump down. Do they blow themselves up in the process? Do they admit to raping, killing, and eating children just to take Trump down. And my friends call me. These are sane people. They're not nuts. My friends go, what do you think they'll admit to? I mean, what will they admit to take down Donald Trump? This is the last thing they have to do on earth. Hillary is crawling around the Middle East, crawling. Get Overlord Domus Genus up from Blade 3. Overlord Domus Genus from Blade 3, folks. Friend of the show. This is what Hillary Clinton currently looks like in Qatar right now, if you can find it. Overlord Domus Genus, Blade 3. She's crawling around Qatar with a cape. Her life force is almost over. She's about to go to her home planet. The one thing that she has left to do, truly, is destroy Donald Trump. She has nothing left to do. There's nothing. What does she do? What does she get? What does she give a fuck about spending time with her grandchildren? Grow the fuck up. She's got a mission, and it's a headshot. She wants to take him out. She wants calls for him to resign. She wants, yes, in the blood, to the left. There, big. That's Hillary right now getting ready for the hearing. She's getting ready for the hearing right now. She has one thing left to do. She has one thing left to do, and it's destroy Trump, because I don't know what Trump was a part of, but he's probably fucked some underage people, I would imagine, and God only knows what else. He's been accused of horrible things in these files. Now Trump's saying he likes Bill Clinton. Play this. Because Trump knows. Here's what Trump knows. Trump didn't fear Hillary when she had something to lose. Do you understand? When Hillary needed the dark overlords, when she needed them, he didn't fear her. Now that she doesn't need them and she's about to slip her skin suit and go back to her home planet, he knows that she will go in front of Congress. There she is with her husband, Bill, and they're going to light this shit on fire. They're going to talk about Trump. They're going to talk about everything. Let's play the video where Trump is talking about liking Bill Clinton.
But it bothers me that somebody's going after Bill Clinton. See, I like Bill Clinton.
Ooh.
I still like Bill.
What do you like about him?
I liked his behavior toward me. I thought he got me. He understood me.
He's guilty. This is guilt. He knows. I like Bill Clinton. He knows Overlord Domus Genus is coming. Now, Hillary and Bill, I wonder if they're going to make it to the hearing. Will they make it to the hearing? Will they make it? Here's what I think it'll be. I think someone tries to get him. Somebody shoots her in the chest and she falls down. And the CIA, Mossad, whatever, whoever they contracted goes, we got her. And then all of a sudden, like a horror film, you just see a shadow 15 feet tall on the wall. And she gets up because she's unkillable. She's unkillable. They realize it. They go, what the fuck? Because she's here for a purpose. Hillary and Bill, I'll be so disappointed. They have to light themselves on fire to take Trump out. They want public calls for his resignation. That's what they want. There's no reason they would do this. For what? They have nothing left. They have nothing left other than the idea that she can light this guy on fire. She could light him on fire. I have more to say about this, but let's take a quick break for that man who killed himself by putting his head in that fryer. Was that at Wendy's? Where did he do this?
Olive Garden.
Olive Garden? Let's just take a quick break here because it's been very dark as an episode. I want to take a minute. This is a male cook who tried to kill himself by he put his head in the fryer at Olive Garden. Let's just take a moment. An Olive Garden employee died from burn injuries he suffered after thrusting his head into a deep fryer in what police have categorized as a suicide attempt. The harrowing incident occurred Friday afternoon at the Williamsport, Pennsylvania restaurant where the We're the, what is that? Decedent?
Decedent.
Decedent. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were saying the Williamsburg, Pennsylvania restaurant where the decadent tour of Italy was served. I'm like, ooh, it's getting sexy. I might have to go over there. In response to an inquiry, Trooper Lauren Lesher, a Pennsylvania state spokesperson, said the incident was a suicide attempt, and out of respect for the individual and their family, we do not release information. Interesting. In a brief phone conversation, the manager at the Olive Garden, which closed for a couple of days after the incident, by the way, for what reason? We are not able to disclose anything due to our privacy law. So in a subsequent dispatch, the operator added that a male victim went headfirst into the front. So here's what happens, right? He's at Olive Garden, and he's doing it. Chopping it, sautéing it. I'm imagining, I don't know what this goes on at Hollywood. He's sautéing it. He's chopping the onion. And then some guy goes, yo, it's fucking busy. He goes, yeah, I know it's busy. And he's doing it. He's putting the hot rolls in the baskets and they're burning his fingers, but he's doing it, and he's doing yo, it's fucking busy, bro. Table 6 needs bread. I'm doing it as fast as I can. Now, he's in one of the darkest places in America, truly an Olive Garden kitchen. That might be worse than that show it again. Show the shark. That might be better than the Olive Garden kitchen. Now, he's in an Olive Garden kitchen. He's putting the hot rolls. Now, these are the people who don't get abducted in human traffic. They end up doing this. It's not good either. He's putting the rolls of bread in the basket. He's putting them in the basket quick, and he's chopping the onions. He's got it because he's also prepped. He's doing some prep, but he's also filling in. He's doing a few different jobs because someone called out. Sarah called out because she's got to go to family court and get her kid back. So he's in the Pennsylvania Olive Garden. He's putting the hot rolls. He's getting, and they're tasty, those little rolls, aren't they? And he's putting them, and he's putting the ranch in the little cups. And he's putting the ranch in the look. And he says to himself, listen, how much longer am I going to put the ranch in these little cups? He says to him, he has that thought. He says, let's be honest. How much longer am I going to take this industrial sized thing of ranch and put it in tiny little cups and serve it with the calamari, which is really like buffalo testicle? It's not even calamari, but whatever. It's actually tasty. The point is this. And a lot of people like the ranch with the breadsticks. Pretty good. He's on his 17th ramekin of ranch that he fills. And it hits him. It hits him. He goes, this could all end right now if I just stuck my head in the fryer in front of everyone. And it'll be such a harrowing image. It'll be such a harrowing image that even though I'll be dead, the people who in this restaurant that see this will be guilted with this forever because they were mean to me and they were not nice. And this image of me putting my head. Now, by the way, this doesn't work. That's why I'm against suicide. No one cares. If I was mean to you and then you killed yourself in front of me, I literally wouldn't care. So don't do it. Stay alive. But here's my point. And I'm never mean to anyone, truly. But here's the thing. He says to himself, the last thing I can do in this world, the last amount of power I have is to put my head in a burning fryer in front of all of these people because it might just ruin their life. Now, I want you to imagine a two-term senator from New York and a first lady who's done a lot of dinners, a lot of interviews, a lot of book signings, and that's her putting those ramekins of ranch on the table. And she's about tired of putting those ramekins of ranch on the table. And she wants to put her head into a fryer in front of everybody else in the kitchen because the guy who got the job over her, the guy who's running it, who got the management position, she knows that if she sticks her head in the fryer, he's not going to be able to be manager anymore. They're going to fire him. They're going to say, who drove her to stick her head in the fryer? There's going to be calls for that man's resignation. It's not going to bode well at other Olive Gardens that he presided over the head in fryer incident. She knows that as she sits in Qatar and slinks around in her skin suit. She knows. Get up. Get that face. She knows that the one thing she has left to do is put her head in the fryer. The one thing Hillary Clinton has left to do is put her head in the fryer in front of everybody in the kitchen at Olive Garden. Because when you've worked in Washington as long as she has, it's all an Olive Garden kitchen. You're just putting the bread in the baskets, education subsidies in the basket. There you go. Oh, this has less calories, actually. It's pretty good. We use the light ranch dressing. Oh, crime bill. Blah. So all it is, it's just a workplace. You're in the kitchen. That's all she does is in the kitchen. And she's now not the manager, and she knows she'll never be the manager. She's out of the game. She's just putting ranch dressing in the ramekin. She's just chopping the onion. She's just putting the bread in the basket. She don't want to do it anymore. The fuck she care about the future of the Democratic Party? Get the fuck out of here. Legacy. Your ass. She's putting her head in the fucking fryer in front of everyone. The sound of the skin, the smell of the burnt hair, the scream of the first person who notices it. Ah! Ah! The scream heard around the world. That's all she's got left. All she has left to do is put her head in the fryer. I knocked something out there. It doesn't matter. I can't see anything anymore. It doesn't matter. There's nothing to see. There we go. It's the most apt metaphor I can think. Now, keep going down. After the initial ambulance crew arrived, the second unit was sent to the restaurant to treat a female worker who suffered minor burns. That'll be J.D. Vance. The woman was injured as workers and at least one patron struggled with the male cook in an attempt to stop him from suffering additional self-inflicted burns. Because you remember, the shock of what he just did, his body comes right out of it. Okay? Not our girl. Our girl's going in once for the dunk. And when her head comes out of that fryer, it's going to look like Hellraiser. A completely perfectly fried face, oozing blood, her eyes falling out of her sockets. Okay, it's going to look exactly like Hellraiser. Eyes full of purpose, although melting out of her face. Skin falling on the floor, the smell of burnt hair, her jaw weakened by the temperature, her teeth starting to dislodge from her gums, the blood and pus and ooze all forming a weird, slightly grayish substance. That might just be the hue of the light, but I see it as a gray sludge moving down her face, and the manager coming back in and looking at this face of horror, knowing that he will never again be the manager of an Olive Garden because he presided over the face in fryer incident. This is what's going to go on when they testify. Because this is the last thing they have left to do. I'm telling you. And Trump knows it. And he's scared. You can feel it. This is the first time he's felt actually vulnerable. Because none of these people could take him down. Marjorie Taylor Greene can't take him down. Thomas Massie can't take him down. But there's something about Bill and Hill. But only if they destroy themselves in the process. The most powerful thing in politics is self-immolation, willing to light yourself on fire. Willing to light yourself on fire, not caring who gets burned in the process. They want to do a public hearing. They want to do something with spectacle. They want something to be haunting. They want it to be big.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Jeffrey Epstein was a Luciferian, money-laundering, murderous pedophile whose friends felt like they were above the law and were. These are some of the most demonic and privileged people that have ever lived. They live on yachts and in mansions. They have all the best real estate. They lurk in the shadows. Their eyes hold nothing. The blackness behind their eyes is the only identifiable trait about them, other than their names, which are fucking redacted, but we could also know them. But as a class of people, they're amorphous. They're an amorphous blob, sucking up people, murdering them, maybe cannibalizing them, carpet bombing them, torturing them, driving them all over the world, shattering their hopes and dreams and getting off on it, feeding on their negative energy. And Bill and Hillary Clinton had done that for a very, very long time. And now it's time to stick their head in the fucking fryer of the Olive Garden. Because at the end of the day, they know they're not going to heaven. That was never the plan. It was never the plan. What the fuck would they do in heaven? It was never the plan. But they can go to hell on their terms. They can go to hell on their terms. But they got to drag him down there first. The only thing she ever cared about was getting the big job. It's the only thing that animated her. It never stopped animating her. This entire year, from when he was inaugurated till now, the name Epstein has loomed large over this. This is the key to unlocking more. The early Bitcoin, the guy's all over 4chan. He's been so much of the political culture, the hate, the division, all of the stuff that's going on right now, he played some weird role in a lot of it. He's not this weird outlier Gadsby-like figure. He's directly plugged into a lot of the things that impact our everyday lives. And his name looms very large over this presidency because it's not just a story about a pedophile. It's a story about how things ended up looking the way they do. And this is what Bill and Hillary know. They know this. They know this. And they can do it. They can come in and tell everybody, I did it. I did it. I ate a baby. I ate a baby. And yes, we're going to want to kill them, and we should. But this is their last stand. Their last stand is to close the curtain on the bullshit politics they were. Because you got to remember, they're just two white trash goons who are used by these people. Evil? Yes. Rapists? Yes. Monsters? Yes. But they were selected by the people that run things. He was selected to be the chubby, accessible, I like McDonald's too. Like, that's what he was selected to do. He was selected to let those drops of cocaine get into Mena, Arkansas so they could flood the inner cities with them. And then put a lot of black people in jail and then fund the Contras. And when those kids discovered it, the boys on the tracks, they crushed their heads. Google that. I don't have the time. Here's the point. No, not you. The people in the audience. We can't get derailed. But here's my point. They were chosen and they were cast in roles and played them. But they were discarded. Do you understand me? Listen up. They were discarded. By the same vampires that chose them, they were discarded. All of a sudden, they were sitting there, face full of blood from a lunch of cannibal shit. And they were like, meh, meh, meh. And they, just like that, it was over. Just like that, the real power was taken from them, drained from their little alien fingers. And then they had to go to a series of luncheons and God help us, The View and the Drew Barrymore show and all this crap. They don't want to do that crap. They want to back channel with Putin. They want to install the new president of Syria. They want to build Miami and Gaza. They want to be in the big fucking game. They don't want to do fucking luncheons and Chappaqua and fucking book clubs. And what was it like being a woman politician? What was it like? What was it like getting into the boys' club? What was it like? They don't want that shit. She doesn't want that. How dare you? The same vampires that used them discarded them. And now it's time. Now it's time to fight fire with fire. There is hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And Hillary may not be a woman, but she's close enough. So I'll tell you this right now. This story can only end with this woman putting her head into the fryer. I will be so disappointed if that doesn't happen. Some version of it. Maybe you don't confess to everything. Maybe you don't confess to everything. But enough of it. You confess to enough. Salacious headlines. Calls for impeachment. Even from Republicans. A swarm. Revenge Hillary. Couple of billionaires get perp walked out of their Hamptons mansions. I watch it all eating Carvel from my car. Oh, my car was stolen from my friend's car. The point is this. We're at a unique period in history. All of the things or enough of the things that we thought were true are true. So now what? We need to fully look this in the face. And the only way to do that is really to have someone who was used by these people and partook in it and who is evil and a corrupt soul, Bill and Hill, they need to have one last kill. They need to walk up there and raise their right hand and sit there and say, I was putting cups of ranch dressing in a ramekin, just like we all did, just like we all did. We were picking up food off the floor and putting it into the fettuccine Alfredo, like we all did. We all did it. And then, just when things are getting good, head into the fryer. Think of the kitchen. That person who did this, and by the way, we feel bad for them. Obviously, it's a sad story. R.I.P. Whatever disclaimer you need, because it's actually a great, powerful metaphor, and it's serving a great point right now. So the person who did this had no idea how many people this might inspire. Imagine the kitchen after that, the chaos of the kitchen. Imagine what it felt, looked like, what it smelled like. It will never leave their minds. It will never leave their minds. Someone will be sitting and they will go, I saw a guy years ago. I was working at an Olive Garden. And I saw this guy put his head in the fryer. The manager kept yelling at him that he wasn't getting the ramekins of ranch dressing ready quick enough. And he just had this look in his eye. You know, we had seen him get mad before. Usually he'd go out and smoke a cigarette. But this time he felt like he was really serious. Something had changed. There was a blackness to his eyes. Something was odd. I remember I called his name twice and he didn't even look at me. He didn't even turn his head. He was just so focused. And then I smelled it before I saw it. Skin, hair, I can't even describe the smell. Oil entering every orifice of his face. He had put his head in the fryer. He had decided to literally fry his head off. He had literally decided to fry his own head off in the Olive Garden kitchen while we were making the Taste of Italy, Tour of Italy, whatever. And I'll always remember that. I'll always remember that. Every time I get stressed out, I go take a walk. I go take a beat. I go breathe deep. Because I remember the smell. And I remember when I saw his face. When I saw his face, there was a sick look in it, kind of like a smile. Now, of course, the skin was so many blisters, so many boils. It would be hard to describe it as a smile. It looked more like a Halloween mask. A Halloween mask in the middle of that Pennsylvania Olive Garden. The manager was stunned, staring, screaming, calling the police, knowing that he'd never again be the manager of a regional chain restaurant in America, which with his convictions was all he could ever hope for. Knowing that he'd be at a drive-thru handing people McDonald's toys within a week, because he presided over a gruesome incident that we had to close for 72 hours. I remember what it felt like to walk back into that kitchen. It was dark and haunting, but there was something good about knowing that the worst had happened. That the worst thing in that kitchen that could have happened had happened, and I had witnessed it. I stared it in the face. I watched a man fry his own head off in the Olive Garden in rural Pennsylvania. So I went back to that kitchen and I felt powerful. And I put the ranch dressing in the ramekins and I got the bread ready, because it's always somebody who's hungry at the Olive Garden. Hillary, it's time.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.